Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with a harmonies of liberty.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for the best in social and political straight talk. And now, here's your host, Miss Tanya Free.
Today is Wednesday, January the 3rd, 2018. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, Dr. Joanne Henry, Reverend Blanche Falk, Dr. West, and working behind the scenes is Niles Johnson and Noah Johnson and Mr. Free. Thank you all for being here and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We want to say also Happy New Year to all of our listening friends from coast to coast. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Tanya Free and Friends show today. We want you to join the conversation. We want to hear what you have to say, especially starting off this new year. Our phone lines are open, 804-321-1010, toll-free number 844-321-1010, or you can text us at TanyaFree 63975, or download the TuneIn app to listen to us on your mobile phone by dialing 712-832-2784. Thanks to our friends at AM/FM 247. How's everybody's Christmas, first of all? Everybody wants to go to the new year. How was Christmas, first of all? How was Christmas? Dr. Henry?
It was great. My daughters came in, one from Kentucky, one from California, and
wonderful.
The grandchildren. And then we had a big party 2 days later with my friends. I am really still feeling Christmas.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Sound like you had an excellent Christmas.
Yes.
Reverend Falk?
I had a lovely, lovely holiday. My husband and I both took vacation time.
Good.
And we just got we stayed home. We did staycation.
Right, there you go.
And it was so peaceful, mm-hmm. which is something I love. I love to just really spend time being grateful about mm-hmm. what the season really means.
Right.
And what it really
exactly.
Means.
I agree with you 100%. Dr. West?
It was a peaceful Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, very chilled back, very family oriented.
Yes.
You know. I mean, just it was great. It was a good Christmas.
I agree with you. I was in the Christmas spirit this year. I actually decorated.
I did too.
Yes, I actually decorated. Okay.
In a 100 years. And a grandbaby 3 years old caused me and Jeremy to decorate.
Oh, really?
Christmas tree.
Okay. Okay. Now, I didn't put up a tree, but I did put up lights and bowls and that sort of thing, and decorate it and cook. So okay. Even though I went to my daughter's and cooked and decorated as well, I was in the Christmas spirit this year, and I really, really enjoyed, like you said, family and friends. It was really, really nice, very nice. So now we stayed home for New Year's and stayed home for New Year's and enjoyed the year coming in.
And the weather?
Yes. Oh, yes. The weather. It's cold, but I'm grateful because I think in Chicago it's below zero.
Yes.
And I'm trying to just fathom what that feels like. I mean,
you might know soon.
Well, okay. What does that mean?
It's cold. The chili is coming.
It's getting colder. It's going to get colder here in Richmond, Virginia.
Yes.
Really?
Tomorrow.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, real chili.
Yes.
Oh, I'm not going out tomorrow then. I'm gonna stay at home. When it gets cold like that, I stay at home. I really do, because we have a dog, and you know, we let her out to go outside. She runs right out there and run right back in. She cannot stand the cold weather. I'm like my dog.
My dog came from California, and he definitely was not into this weather. This whole week he was here, he was like,
No, it's too cold.
Well, I found myself in prayer about it because the weather, you know, I was just so grateful for all of the, you know, amenities that I have right now at home, because I'm still prayerful about the people in Puerto Rico.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine go that length of time? I was sharing with my sister this morning, it's not just not having power where you are, because if I decide to come over to your house, you don't have any power. If I decide to come to your house, you probably, and if I decide to go to the grocery store, that store has no power in still such a large part.
Exactly.
And I just cannot imagine.
I cannot imagine either. I'm still trying to understand as to why they are still without power and the things that they need. I just cannot understand why is that. That is 45's Katrina.
Yeah.
And he is just, you know, unconcerned. And the government, period.
Well, when you look at Puerto Rico, their infrastructure was so third world outside of the bigger city.
Right.
Such that, you know, when you have a catastrophe like those hurricanes, it exposed the underbelly.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
Things are in some parts of Puerto Rico, just like parts of Haiti.
Mm-hmm. And Dominion is on its way over there. Right, should be there now to help with that infrastructure.
Right. Yeah.
It's just like Virgin Islands, US Virgin Islands back some years ago, the same thing happened. Right. They had to rebuild.
Yeah, and to get hit like that. And we're talking about the cold weather. Weather like this, people that are homeless.
Yes.
I just can't even, you know, to be homeless and to be out in the cold like this. And I'm just like, there should be some sort of shelter everywhere if you're homeless that you can go to. To stay out in this type of weather and be homeless is just unimaginable.
But going back to your point about this being 45's Katrina, the fact that they have not done what they should have done for the people of Puerto Rico, and the migration of so many people from Puerto Rico to Florida and Georgia and some southern states, and they are U.S. citizens, so they can register to vote.
Right,
so
exactly.
So all of a sudden you're going to have several hundred thousand new voters in some races in 2018.
They may
have an impact.
Well, you know what? The mayor has been very vocal.
Yes.
And I'm quite sure she's on a mission to make sure, like what you said, when the midterm elections come up in 2018,
absolutely,
that she has been crystal clear that she's outright angry. And I don't blame her. She should be.
Well, the other day they were going through at the end of the year, the news, and that they had that segment where Trump was throwing paper towels into the crowd as if that was some sort of response to such a disaster. And it looked so out of place that, you know, you stop and say, look at him again.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that he's been doing it so much every day that all we really need to do is stop looking at the new stuff he's doing and spend a moment to say, let's list the things that he's done each month since he was inaugurated. And it's astounding, absolutely astounding.
I was reading an article the other day, and it was a piece where they have tracked the number of, they call it alternative facts or whatever, you know, but it's outright just what it is. and it was like 1,900 right. of them.
Yeah.
1,900 of them.
Untruth.
Yeah, untruth. Facts. Okay, we're gonna be nice.
They
untruth.
Well, people would call him a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, how is it? You know, you can, and I am. I think that we need to hold the Republicans accountable for allowing it. And
absolutely.
They know
absolutely.
What he is and what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the midterm elections is this year, November the 6th, 2018. And we need to start right now, not wait until November the 6th mm-hmm. and try to figure out who's up for, you know, election or re-election and try to determine as to what they've done. We need to do it right now.
Did you see the other day where I think it was in Iowa? Where some guy got up and asked the senator about the release of some testimony that had been given to the Judiciary Committee under oath. And he sat there and told the room, oh, yes, we're going to release it. We're going to release it. And so the company just came out, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and said, release it. You know, let's get it all out there. We under oath, we've said what we've done. They're dealing with the dossier.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Republicans, going back to your point, the Republicans are sitting on a whole trough of information that they don't want to release, and they've got to be made to release it by people becoming more active and calling your congressmen and your senators and
right.
saying, look, you know, we're watching you as well, and we don't understand how you could sit there and have this knowledge and make the decisions and do what you're doing.
Well, I hope the Democrats are, they've been very quiet
mm-hmm.
because if the shoe was on the other foot, the Republicans, every other ad, if not every ad, would be, you know, shouting and screaming about whatever it is. I mean, the situation with Hillary and the emails was
mm-hmm.
constant. You would have thought she had murdered someone.
Mm-hmm.
But incredibly, we're sitting here 2 years later talking about Hillary.
Right.
You know, and we're not talking about Trump.
Well, that's because the Democrats are too quiet.
Well, and also we sit there when every day you wake up and people say, let's wait for the tweet.
Yes.
Why do we need to wait? You know, we know what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
We know this man is unfit. He is not prepared.
Oh, yeah.
He is
beyond
corrupt.
That.
You know, and so we don't need to sit there and go, oh, my God, look at what he said
today.
Mm. We know it.
Oh, yeah. We long known it before he was even in office.
Yes.
You know, and he still got elected.
And the recently, the here Republicans defend the president and criticize Mueller for getting to the bottom of what's going on. You know, those need to be, you need the people, as you said, need to get involved.
Right now.
They need to start calling out the people mm-hmm. who are saying, we support him, we're not doing this, and they should be demanding. Let's hear what these people say under oath.
Yes.
You know, let's let the president say what he's got to say.
What's been astonishing to me about looking at what's happening here in our country, in our government, remember that it's supposed to be representative of mm-hmm. us as a people. I was going back fact-checking about when the transition happened. And President Obama has spent a lot of time really preparing for all of the different agencies. It is by law. And of course, as always, you know, he was on point, correct, to make certain that everything for the EPA, for the Interior, for all mm-hmm. of these different agencies, there must be a transition team
mm-hmm.
and information, books, bound and prepared about how these things work.
Mm-hmm.
It was stated, it was brought out of the news. No one
mm-hmm.
from the new administration
mm-hmm.
showed up to work. Because, no, first of all, the cabinet was half empty.
And it still is.
And it still is. You know, that's a stickler for me. And it just really was, it's so upsetting to me because I'm thinking to myself, there's nobody watching over the USDA.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one watching over the EPA. There's no one watching over. And some of the people that he put into positions, they are not even qualified because
right.
someone helped him win Iowa. Now this person is over top of an administrator
yes.
that he has no skill set for. What I am astounded by, as I said at the beginning of my statement, I'm astonished, is the fact that even during the time that President Obama was in office, this swamp, the creatures that are in the swamp, they were waiting for a time such as now, because they really don't want to do the work that is needed, that is necessary. They do not want to prepare themselves. They're thinking only about the right now, what's in it for me that I can leave for my grandkids, maybe. That bothers me, because again, I believe it's not just one group. It's those who sit and watch that injustice as it persists.
Well, like you said, he is incompetent. He's put people in place that are incompetent. And I mean, if you watch, Bessie DeVos keeps coming to mind, watch her interview. I mean, I just cringe. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Ben Carson, who didn't have a clue about, you know, HUD. What was the, Rick Perry, Price.
Price, and it was corrupt.
So. Yeah, it is really, really scary, like you just said. And then 45 did an interview with New York Times. He really thinks he's truly running this like a business, but a business, a failed business.
Yeah.
And what did he say to the New York Times? That the justice system, he can do what he wants to do, something along those lines. I really think and believe that he does. Thinks he has the authority to do whatever he wants to do. Forget, you know, what the Congress, all of that. Forget whoever he has to, forget, he. I think he really thinks when he signs an executive order or whatever they give him, it's done. That if he wants to push a button, he can push a button. He can do anything. I really believe he thinks he can do anything he wants to do. That's in his mind. In his mind, he thinks that being president means he is large and in charge, and he doesn't have to run anything by anybody. I really think he believes that.
I would go one step. That is clearly in his mind.
It is.
I don't think he believes he's got it. I think he's that insecure and inadequate, and he's popping himself. You know, he's propping himself up.
It's a front.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, he's weak.
Of course he is.
And see, the thing is that's why he can't fire anybody. That's why he can't make a decision. That's why he jumps all around. That's why he tweets.
He has a tantrum.
Because he can tweet and not be held, called out on it. And what the people have made the mistake of doing is that they go, oh, look at him today. No, he was crazy 2 weeks ago. So we don't need to go through that. He's crazy 2 weeks. He's crazy now. So then we need to be doing something.
You can tell by, if you watch him walk, like, okay, I'm lodging in charge, and, you know, he can, it just bothers me to see him, you know, just think that he has that mentality.
But
it's a scary thought.
You know, it's wonderful to sit here today and have three lovely ladies. Because the conversation.
What do you want?
No, I'm just setting this up.
Okay. Thanks for the warning.
Right. But you know, this morning they were talking. You mentioned the buttons. And his button was a bigger button.
Yeah.
And it's a better button.
Elementary.
And, you know, and but it's Freudian.
Yeah, he said.
I mean, it's. Totally frauding. And then he talks about his hands, you know, and you know, and little hands.
Yes.
And I mean, they even are getting to the point where that level of insecurity is playing about my button being bigger, my button being better, my button being a working button.
But I'm going to go back to something she said. It's a lot of things that are being discontinued, documentations. In various departments.
Because they don't know what they're reading.
Right. And what was the CDC? Can I use certain words? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things that are being undone that is not being reported that we don't know about. And that is a scary thought.
Let's come back to that because that's very, very important.
Yeah, it is. Very much so. Things happening behind the scenes that we don't know about. And, we got to take a break. Oh, I'm sorry. Today's praise break is God's Grace by Luther Barr, sponsored by 105.3 FM, The Choice in Richmond, Virginia.
How did I make it through the storm? How did I make it through the rain? explain. It was God's grace.
God's grace.
It was God's grace.
God's grace.
It was God's grace.
God's grace.
It was God's grace.
God's grace. God's grace.
I've made it this far.
I made it this far. By the grace.
How you brought me through the night. Lord, you kept me and you never left me. You stood by my side. There were so many times when I came so close. Oh man, death, he tried to take me in. So the reason I'm here is not hard for me to see. In fact, it's so easy for me to explain. It was God's grace.
God's grace.
God's grace.
God's grace.
It was God's grace.
God's grace.
It was God's grace.
God's grace.
The Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is sponsored in part by
Metropolitan Day School, where eagles soar.
This is Tanya Free. Have behavioral issues affected your child's grades? Does it seem like your child's emotional problems are tearing you and your family apart? Calls from the principal, suspensions, detentions? Call my friends over at Metropolitan Day. Get your child's school year and your family back on track. Call Ms. Thomas today, 804-321-2595. Metropolitan Day, where eagles soar.
Did you know on July 28, 1868, the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution is certified, establishing African American citizenship and guaranteeing due process of law. My name is Aaliyah Cook, and I am living life with a purpose with Tanya Free and Friends.
This is Tanya Free, inviting you to check out the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for the best in social and political straight talk, here coast to coast on the AM-FM 247 radio network and the AM-FM 247 television network. Join the conversation.
The Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, Wednesdays. Conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
What a welcome to the panel, Van Neville. How are you, friend?
Happy New Year, y'all. How are y'all feeling today?
Happy New Year to you. How was your Christmas?
Family-oriented, a bunch of food, a few things didn't fit, and some money.
You ready for a
cleansing? Yeah, okay. For real.
That's all right. How about New Year's? Put that fancy jacket on. Your New Year's outfit.
That was from last year. I was contemplating, do I need to wear that back out again? And I ended up not going anywhere, so it is what it is.
That's all right. It's saving you wear it next year, okay?
Mm-hmm. Provided too many people don't already know.
Well, we were talking about the new year, and we left talking about 45. But let me say this before we get too far away from, I want to bring to everyone's attention that in 2018, the midterm elections, there are 435 House seats up for election and 33 Senate seats. And I'm going to try each week to talk about the people that are up for election or re-election. Both in a House and in the Senate, because like I said, one of the things that happened is that we wait until November, a lot of people wait until November the 6th and don't have a clue as to who's running, and they just go in and mark D, R, or whatever, you know, and I think that is very dangerous, and I think that you're wasting your vote. We need to hold everyone accountable, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever the case may be. And when I say hold them accountable, go back and look at their record and see what they've actually done. Because if you're a Democrat and you vote Democrat, the people that you're voting for, are they representing you in your best interest? Don't just keep sending folks to, you know, reelecting people and nothing's getting accomplished. I think that's a waste of vote.
You know, I had the nerve to join an organization, which I never joined an organization other than the Delta Sorority. Mm-hmm. But I'm with the Richmond Crusade for Voters.
Well, okay,
and
yeah.
And I'm really enjoying the people.
Okay.
And they just said the same. That's what they're going to do.
Okay.
Start following their candidates.
Yeah, Marty, Jewel's in that organization. Mm-hmm. And maybe we all can get together and work together. Because the thing is, another thing that we do, we got an organization here, organization over here.
Yeah.
We need to work together. Join forces and work together.
And we have started getting off track. I'm not trying to go.
Oh, no, go ahead.
But we've started bringing in younger people.
That's good.
A website.
We need that.
It's getting exciting.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying it.
Okay, we're going to talk after the show.
I cannot believe that I'm doing something.
Okay. And the other thing, make sure that you're still, your registration, or you're still able to vote. And I bring that up because there was a brother who's been in the service.
Yes.
And he went to vote, and he had been kicked off the roll. And there are a lot of places where they're purging their roles.
Yeah, of course.
And you may think that you're, you know, registered, but you're not even on the roll. Wow. And I think that's being challenged. So.
Well, and the thing, when you bring up that case, was it in Ohio?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They changed that law, was it in, 1994?
Okay.
But it was a long time ago that they started doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them to, 2014 to bring the action against what they've been doing.
Wow.
You know, so you stop and say, well, somebody must have been sleeping at the switch.
Right.
You know, and so that sort of activism, the laws have been in place for a while, and there are laws that say that if you're not an active voter, if you don't vote for so many cycles, you get purged. You know, there's some that, you know, people go to the service, come back. They don't, as you say, they don't follow up.
Right.
And so they get caught in that sort of scenario, which is over and above direct actions that are being taken in a number of jurisdictions around the country where they absolutely want to make it impossible for people of color or, you know, whoever.
Right.
They don't want to vote. Alabama being a prime example, like how they cut out, you know, the places where people could get the sort of paperwork
to vote. I agree. If you don't know the rules, it's easy to lose the game.
And it
really angers me because one of the things, I read the article as well, one of the things the gentleman was stating is that he did not vote because he was away in military service.
Right.
His address had not changed.
Exactly.
And they were saying, well, you didn't respond to the notices that we sent to you. Again, understanding the rules of what's going on, because what they're saying is that if you didn't vote, The first time, we're going to send you a notice. By the fourth time that you don't vote, we just simply kick you off the rolls. And they're saying, we're doing this to protect you so that no one else will come up and mess with the numbers or the count or the numbers that should be represented in that district, which is completely untrue because of this. Wherever you go to vote, you must show identification that you are who you state that you are.
Right.
The address is a big part of it. In fact, it happened to me at the last election. I went to vote, and my husband voted early that day, and I voted on my way in. It just so happened I was on my way to a celebration. When I got there, the lady sitting on the other side of the table, they were like, oh, you're not here. And I'm like, I vote every time. Every time. No dogs bite me. No water hoses are upon me, but here I am. I am voting because it's so important
right.
that my voice is heard. Even if I don't agree with all of the issues, I must be there to choose the lesser of the
right.
evil.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened that day when you got there and they said
well,
you weren't there?
Yeah, they said I wasn't there, and I said, well, please go back and, you know, look again. Because what I showed was my military ID, which mm-hmm. doesn't have my address on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why don't you look again and, you know, check it out? She was disputing me down. And I was like, lady, I'm going to vote.
You're going to vote for that.
I'm
right.
voting.
So yeah, exactly.
Best thing, how did she get?
She just, what happened was I stated to her, I said, please look at the names again, my husband's uh-huh. name and my name. They're both there. You know, we have our current voter identification.
Right.
We've done the things that we needed to do. We've done mm-hmm. our due diligence. So for to sit there and see somebody say, oh, you really don't exist, or oh, what she was trying to state was that I had already voted. Uh-huh. And I was like, that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me show you how it's impossible that I did not vote. Who did you let through
right.
this loophole that stated that he or she were I?
So, all right, so what was the conclusion?
The conclusion was I voted.
You voted.
And yeah. as a result of her finding your name and such on there?
She had to defer to her counterpart, who had to defer to someone else. And I was like, y'all take all the time you want to. You
right.
know, you can get Betsy Ross out here to sew a new flag. I'm voting tonight. That's
and Betsy Ross didn't sew no flag. Come on now. They had
right.
slaves.
Oh,
go ahead. See, it was that perseverance. That you know,
right.
that you kept pushing the issue
mm-hmm. instead of just walking away.
Exactly.
And
going back to the gentleman who was in the military, there's no reason why he did not get an absentee ballot.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't vote for a number of cycles,
right.
which meant that voting was not on his list mm-hmm. of priorities.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that's why
exactly.
a crusade for voters is so important mm-hmm. to make sure people understand that they got to vote, like
yeah.
you say.
Yes.
They're not a perfect candidate, but the lesser of the evil.
Yes. Right. And what's scary is, like you said, how many people were turned away that day
yes.
because of some error
mm-hmm.
that they had made or was making, you know, and that, you know, you may have other people that were not as persistent
yes.
as you were, and probably how you never know how many people were turned away and did not vote.
Let me ask you, were you in the city or the county?
I was at the county.
Oh.
Okay.
I just had, I'm
yeah.
not going to ask which
yeah.
of the county.
Yeah. But yeah. ask which.
That's all I want
to
say.
I'm happy to state which county. I don't mind.
No, don't state. But no, we have to be persistent because if we're not, we'll be turned away. We will,
yes.
you know, be kicked off the roll, all of the above, and stay in tune.
We
say for voters.
Does Virginia I thought we had something like that too. Like if you don't vote for so many years,
there is.
They remove you.
Yeah,
if
you're an active voter, yes.
So what's the procedure to get back on the rolls?
You go back to the
you
go back and reestablish
yeah.
your credentials.
Uh huh. Showing your ID.
Well, you know, it's good to know what that is. I'm gonna look that up because
yeah.
honestly, like, can I tell you, I'm on the roll and I keep my little voter registration card and all that, so that if
it's a form of ID.
Yeah.
It's a second form of ID
exactly.
in many government agencies
yes, right.
that if you can show,
yeah,
because
ID.
It is issued by a state department.
Yeah.
And it's so important, exactly what you were saying, because one of the things the gentleman in Ohio stated was that, well, if I chose not to vote, that's my right as well.
Oh.
And that's how he felt about it. Okay, but when you decided to vote, Was it, well, I'm on my way to get a Slurpee. Oh, yeah, and I think I'll vote. Didn't you know that you hadn't voted in a while? Wasn't it a good idea to check it out? Because sometimes your voting destination, your location will change. It is my job. It is my duty to step up and make sure days before, weeks before, by the time that the last absentee ballot is valid, to make sure that I have that right still available to
If he hadn't, if this particular person had not voted in a while, was it due to military service? And if so, how come whomever was in command or in charge, he didn't receive his absentee ballot because he's in the military?
He was deployed. He was deployed. He was in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, and one other place. Who run for office talk about, well, we got to wait for the military vote to come in. Well, how many folks are not getting what they're supposed to get as far as being citizens of the country that they are fighting for, blah, blah, blah?
Well, I take my hat off to this brother because he ended up being mayor.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess he was PO'd to the point he said, okay, I'm going to really take a stand. But
that's when he started to persevere.
Right.
You know, and see, the thing is that if you really look at the last 20 years or so, you know, that we've been sitting on our hands, generally, and the leadership has been sitting on their hands, except for when they're asking for money. You know, it's so there's not a lot that's been going on that's played into the scenario.
Well, the other thing is, too, you've served in the military, then you come home and you can't vote. They're going to say, oh, you know, that's crazy. Hmm. You know, you were registered and everything, then they're going to tell you you can't vote. They some kind of way purge your voting rights.
But yeah, that should have been something that was stopped immediately. Shouldn't have got to that point.
Right.
But the thing is that we have to, as citizens, assume a level of responsibility and duty.
You're right.
And he was assuming the responsibility to his duty to serve the country, for which he was supposed to be able to vote in, blah, blah,
right.
blah.
And somewhere along the line, the two should have connected.
The thing is that there is obviously a systematic thing going on. Mm-hmm. There's also, in order to balance that, there's at least got to be some initiative by the individual.
Yes. Right.
You can't because sit back and say, I decided
well,
now.
And these are the kind of conversations we should be having, and we are going to have on Tanya Free and Friends, because a lot of stuff that, you know, the rhetoric and all that's going on with 45, that's smokescreen. Mm-hmm. And this is the type of stuff that we need to be in tune and know what's going on before November the 6th or before the cutoff for you to register.
And when you think about what just happened in Alabama, mm-hmm. how the all the folks in the black belt came out and they stood in long lines and they voted and it made a difference.
Yes. Yeah, you it know. Did. It and made a heck of a difference.
They just knew that old boy was going to be up in there because those black people were at home in the bed sleeping.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad we came out, showed up, and showed out because we do not need any more crazies.
No.
In Washington.
And there would have been two crazes.
Yeah, I mean, just think about waving a gun. I mean, oh my goodness.
Oh, they ain't the only ones. Oh, trust and believe.
Yeah, so that's just, you know, we got to hit the ground.
One of them runs, I think, the EPA.
Right.
Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
You all were talking earlier.
About, Rick Perry.
No, not Rick Perry. It's someone else whose life work, I guess, in public life, has been to dismantle the EPA.
He's a guy from Oklahoma.
Yeah, Price, I want to say, is his name.
Oh, yeah, I know
Price
you're talking about.
Price was what the, was Health and
down?
Human Services.
I thought he stepped down.
They ran him out because he was corrupt.
Yeah, he stepped down.
But there was a guy that was in Oklahoma that's always said, get rid of EPA, and they put him in.
The majority of the folks that are in, because you all talked about this earlier, the majority of folks that are in Trump's cabinet, they're like sarcastic representatives, in as much as Betsy DeVos is against public schools. Mm-hmm. The guy that runs the EPA is against the EPA. It's like the absolute worst people or the sworn enemy of that.
Hold that thought. We got to take a break.
Let our rejoicing rise. a song full of a faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present
Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is sponsored in part by
Furniture at the Venus. Hi, I'm Chocolate Chip, and your home is the place that says the most about who you are. Furniture at the Venus has a huge selection of styles that make a statement. Visit our showroom at 1420 Hull Street, Suite A, and check out our full line of dining room sets, living rooms, and bedroom sets, and more. Be sure to ask about our weekly Tanya Free and Friends specials on everything in the store, including king and queen mattresses, sets to fit any budget. With new arrivals daily, let Charles and Nancy Shaw show you their complete line of home furnishings and accessories. Give them a call at 804-232-3500. That's 804-232-3500. That's Furniture at the Venus, 1420 Hull Street, in the heart of Southside Richmond.
Hi, I'm RW Groove. My friends call me the Big Groovy from Stone Cold Soul Jams, the hippest trip on the web, hottest thing on the streets, and exclusively RichmondSoulRadio.com. On all new time, 7 to 11 or 8 to noon, depending on when Famous Brown pushes the button. Thank you for being sharp enough to check out the Famous Brown TV show. Now be equally sharp and check out Stone Cold Soul Jams, only on the all new Richmond Soul Radio.com.
Sponsorship and advertising for the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show and the Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network is provided by Freedom Marketing Incorporated, 844-321-1010, or email us at info@tanyafree.com for more information. This is the Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point. Conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
We're going to go straight to the phones to our friend Scott in North Carolina. Hey, Scotty, Happy New Year to you.
Oh, Happy New Year to everyone. Greetings.
Happy New Year.
Hey, I just wanted to call in and just reiterate the folks. I'm glad y'all having this conversation. But voting is important. If you don't think it's important, I'm not trying to convince you. You know, people will say, well, what has voting ever changed? Well, if you don't know that, you ain't studied the history of the United States nor black history in this country if you think voting doesn't matter. And I would say to you, what does not voting accomplish? What have you accomplished by not voting?
Absolutely.
And this year, 2018, is a very important year.
Yes.
To vote, not just because of the immature man-child who is playing nuclear chicken with another person who may be mentally unstable, but because the conservatives like the Koch brothers and, you know, the big money that funds politics in this country, all they need is 2/3 of states in order to do a what's known as the convention of states, where they can propose amendments to the Constitution. Roy Moore even talked about it. You know, all we need is these 10 amendments, you know, and what have you. And somebody told me the other day, one of my cousins, we were talking about how important this year is to vote. He was saying that if Alabama, if Roy Moore had gotten in, and if those people in Virginia where y'all at, if the Republicans had gotten in, that they would be close to having that 2/3. They've been working on this over a year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't hear about it from the mainstream media, period. And it's called the Convention of States. Some of the alternative news, like the Real News out of Baltimore, which has a YouTube channel, they've done several interviews about it. But it's stuff that's going on that we ain't even aware of. And so
right. How
are you going to have a Convention of States and it's all Republicans in there? And no Democrats, no Green. You know I'm not a party type person, but you don't have anybody with opposing views to be in that process to challenge any amendments that might be harmful to the majority of the people. So I just wanted to reiterate, voting is very important.
Yes, it
is. And one last thing is I've been taking a look at that 15th Amendment, and we know that they use prison slavery to disenfranchise our folks of their constitutional rights. You lose your Second Amendment rights, and you lose your right to vote. Now, I'm sitting here, I've been over the past couple of weeks debating in my mind, does the 15th Amendment apply to people labeled as felons? Because the 13th Amendment says slavery and involuntary servitude shall be abolished except as punishment for crime. The 15th Amendment says the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. So if the 13th Amendment say that you could use the term involuntary servitude for people who are in prisons, then to me, then, soon as you finish your prison sentence, or I'm not even if you're in prison, you should be able to vote, according to this 15th Amendment.
That's true.
I agree.
Okay, Scotty, now think about it this way. Think about what the word servitude means. They didn't get put in prison as a result. They weren't sentenced to servitude. They were sentenced to incarceration, and since they're already there, we might as well go ahead and use the resource that we have at our disposal. That's going to be the legal argument.
What? That's not what the U.S. Constitution said. That's what some word that a lot of people have bought into. What do the Constitution say? And when you're making money off of profit off of bodies, I mean, if that ain't slavery, I don't know what slavery is. When you got corporations that will hire prison slave labor and won't give you a job, and you ain't never been in prison, then what is that? It don't say nothing about mass incarceration or incarceration in the Constitution. It say involuntary servitude and slavery shall be abolished except as punishment for crime whereby a person has been duly convicted.
And it doesn't say we will throw
them in mass incarceration or incarcerate them or whatever. You know, that's a word that applies to their condition, but I'm telling you, the involuntary servitude and slavery also applies because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. But I don't want to debate that. But I'm saying, show me in the Constitution where it says that you can be stripped of your right to vote because you are in prison or you have been to prison and you're a felon.
That's a good point. That's a real good point, Scotty.
The problem, I believe, and I do agree with the statements that you're making, sir, the problem is not what the wording of the law is, it's its interpretation, and that varies from state to state.
A lot like religion.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a Supreme Court of the United States that trumps all of these state courts, and you are right. But there's already precedent on all this.
Yes.
But I've never heard of anybody, and I'm not a felon. Never been to prison, have voted since I was 18, never missed a vote, even when I was in the military, never missed a vote. All right. So I've never heard anybody bring a court case that has that status that I've done my time and you're keeping me from voting or anybody in prison. I would like to see a lawsuit. There's been nobody challenging the stripping of people's right to vote via, you know, using the 15th Amendment as their argument. I would like to see, I'd like to have these questions answered in the court of law instead of, you know, a debate between people who can't make that determination. I mean, of course, we can discuss it, analyze it, and strategize around it, but I just wanted to bring the 15th Amendment to people's mind.
Well, you know something, Scotty, that should be a fight the NAACP take up.
Mm-hmm.
It really should be.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the Legal Defense Fund.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just saw them soliciting money. Well, we got a whole lot of people that have their rights to vote. I would like to see a test case with these people using the 15th Amendment.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Why is your vote, your right to vote?
Absolutely. You have a right to medical treatment. You have a right to practice religion, to educate yourself while you're in jail.
Or let your voice be heard.
That's right. So,
hey, look, Scotty,
why not your vote?
And on top of that, can we get a receipt every time we vote, too? Can we get one of those?
Hey, Venezuelan voters do.
Mm.
So why can't we?
You get a
sticker. They got electronic voting, and they print out a piece of paper or a receipt, like you said, just like you get from an ATM.
There you go. How come we don't get that?
Thank you, Scott. Tell everybody to listen to your show, because you talk about the 13th Amendment
very
thoroughly,
recount,
so we all can understand it.
Yes, please tune in to New Abolitionist Radio. We've been broadcasting for 5 years on the Black Talk Radio Network about modern-day slavery and human trafficking, the legal kind via the 13th Amendment. Y'all be blessed.
Thank you, Scott. We appreciate it. Dr. West, you had something you wanted to say?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to Maurice Talley right here in Richmond. Hey, friend, how are you? Hello, you still there?
Wake up, Maurice.
Maurice, we lost him. Okay. Let me bring up something else before we go to another break. Let's talk about 45 and the craziness that is already beginning to.
No, that's not.
Yeah, that's just. You know what? Let me say this. It was so nice during Christmas and New Year's. I turned the television off, didn't watch any news, didn't want to hear anything, you know, because it is truly, one, is embarrassing when we hear all the craziness and the rhetoric and, you know, the stuff that's going on in the White House. It is truly embarrassing, the things that we have a person tweeting, talking about his button is bigger than the other person's button, mm-hmm. talking about North Korea. North Korea's Kim Jong-un made a statement to the fact that he had a nuclear button that was, you know, right at the desk. And 45 said he has a button that's bigger, something elementary of that nature, tweeted.
But I want to know something. What about Omarosa? I want to know, why did she have the privilege to go into his office when she got ready?
Well, because...
What kind of relationship is that?
Those were his people. I mean, that's just like his daughter and his son-in-law, everybody having a job or office or doing what? Are they qualified to do anything? What are they doing?
I don't think that was her question.
No.
Yeah,
I know what a question was.
I was
trying to redirect
behind the question.
I don't want to go there.
And the question came after the button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned the button. She asked the question. I don't know.
We are going to stay above the fray, okay, in 2018. Okay. Well, do you see how she was escorted in, that she was no longer allowed to go to that button?
She was not escorted. She was not, and that was not true, and that her... She has her resignations until January 17th, two more weeks, and after that, she will tell it all.
I think she also stated in an interview that she chose to leave. She said that she was only going to stay there for a certain period of time, I guess, to get enough Twitter followers or, you know, a place to have her reception.
Alternative facts, fake news, or whatever you want to call it. When she writes her book, I don't want to hear anything she has to say. Honestly, I'm not going to buy a copy.
She had access.
I refuse to waste my money.
She had access to the personal quarters.
Oh, I know she did.
Okay.
I mean, for a period of time until, Kelly said, okay, we're going to shut that down. You know, which rightly so. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, Dr.
West. Sliding into the gutter, people.
I know. We're trying not to.
Let's get into it. I mean, that's what Trump has been a cesspool the whole time.
You know. Let me go back to the phone. Hey, Maurice, how are you, friend?
All right. How are you all?
We're good. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you all. So, you know, the topics are so hot today, so we know a new year, everything may be monitored. So I'll say my point quick before we cut the year. But I just wanted to piggyback off with Reverend Blanche was saying regarding voting, because I've been fortunate to work the polls for the last three elections. And I usually try to just work all different positions. So when it comes to the table and people come to register, I was fortunate. One thing I really liked that they did at the precinct where I was, even if people didn't have the something or weren't on the roll or something, you can go online and even look up your voter registration card and get the information. And then we could take that information and put it in the system and find some people that way, too. So just exhausting all options is definitely something to do. But like I said, I do it mainly because, one, I was in a position where I've lost the voting rights before, and having to get that back, but also to be visible, to be seen, and to be participating in the process, and to be there to, if no more than to maybe give some hope to the young people that come through, you know, that we are involved in this process. But I want to thank Scotty for all the information he shared, and we know that Virginia, we're thankful that our state has moved away, because it used to be really tough, just like Virginia, Kentucky were the main two where you wouldn't get your rights back. Without going through a long, exhausting process. So we're thankful that Virginia has come a long ways so that people can get that opportunity back again. And I hope you all continue to be blessed. Hope this year is off to a great start. And we're just staying encouraged. And even though we have someone who seems to feel as if he has all the power, we'll just be mindful of what the word says. No, yes, doesn't benefit a man to gain the whole world.
That
you all know the rest. So be blessed.
True.
Love you all. Take care.
Thank you. Love you, Maurice. Too. Preacher, love you too. That is so true. And I honestly, that's one of the things I'm doing this year, is keeping my head in the word, because if not, listening to all this, your head will truly explode. I don't know how you all feel about it, but that's how I feel about it, especially when I'm watching, you know, main media sources and they hyping everything up, you know, and it's dangerous for the mere fact that people that do not read and just take what they're saying and run with it, you know, that is even just as scary and just as dangerous. You know, he putting it out there and then they hyping it up and you hearing it constantly. Right. You know, you're being fed, you know.
And several points that have been raised today by several people, you know, that there's so much going on that we don't even hear about. Mm-hmm. You know, don't even hear about because of all the clutter and confusion and the way the media presents it. Mm-hmm. Because it just hypes their ratings.
Oh, yeah.
And they just stay on that same story for a week.
Exactly. Well, we got to go to Black Talk Commentary. Our friend Scotty Reed, take a listen.
The Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is a presentation of Freedom Marketing Incorporated. All rights reserved. Views and comments expressed are not necessarily the views of the host and or the station.
The revolution will be televised. I remember gay, same thing, and feel like black was same thing.
around, it's the same thing. Have you feeling like that? What's the thing to be? Now if you know, like I know, then turn this up on the radio. Don't turn me down, man, keep me up. Don't turn me down, man, keep me up. Don't turn me down.
Mothers, teach your babies.
Teach your babies.
Mothers, raise your ladies. Prepare for struggle, prepare for grief. Teach your love, teach your peace. In a world of real poverty, a world of sex, HIV. Sisters getting trapped with them. A world of recession, reproception, foreclosure, and homelessness. But don't you let her keep your head up.
I remember all the days the same thing. Never feel like that was the same thing. Laying around the same thing. Never feel like that was the same thing. Now if you know, like I know, you turn this up on the radio. Don't turn me down, man, keep me up. Don't turn me down, man, keep me up. Don't turn me down.
Reach out, read some scripture.
Read some scripture.
Singing good hymns. In the world of addicts, alcoholics, non-believers, and for-profit, self-destruction, and freedom fighters, U.S. soldiers, and Al-Qaeda, mother wind, UFO, coming peace. I don't know. In the world of rock music, hip hop, R&B, soul and power.
I remember all the same thing. Have you been like that? The same thing. Jay Brown, the same thing.
Ayatollah Sayed Ali Khamenei, a leader in Iran, is blaming external forces for the unrest seen in the Persian and Islamic nation. Khamenei mentioned actions by Americans, the Brits, and other NATO-aligned nations like France for fomenting the unrest and then funding rebel groups as an example of what he says is the root of the unrest in Iran. Ayatollah Khamenei said, "During the time of imposed war, if the enemy could be able to enter inside our country, it would not have any mercy on anything, and the situation was much worse than today's situation in Libya and Syria." Over the weekend on social media, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, took shots at several nations, including Iran, and asking followers to retweet the message, "Our hopes and prayers are with the millions of people suffering from repressive governments in Korea, Venezuela, Cuba, and especially in Iran, where the Iranian people are finding their voice. The Iranian government is being tested by its own people. We pray freedom and human rights will carry the day." Ambassador Haley did not respond to questions directed at her on Twitter about the current human rights record of the United States, which incarcerates more of its citizens in prisons and a booming private prison sector than the combined four countries named in her tweet. After closing out 2017 with two police-related killings on December the 31st, closing out the year with 1,188 people killed by police, according to the citizen database found at killbypolice.net, the website reports that the killing continued on into the new year with three kills on January 1st to start 2018. This has been Scotty Reed of BTR News reporting. Support independent media today by giving a tax-deductible donation to the Black Talk Media Project, which has been providing public digital media since 2008.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk. Black Talk.
Have you checked out Tanya Free TV on Ustream? Watch our radio broadcast live and catch up on past video podcasts. Download the app or go to Ustream.tv to follow Tanya Free and friends. Stay in touch with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or text the word Tanya to 63975. Join the conversation. Tanya Free and Friends, on air, online, on point.
The Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is sponsored in part by
The Exclusive Blacklist. This is Benita of the Vine Wine Club inviting you to attend the 4th Annual Exclusive Blacklist Weekend. Join us in downtown Richmond, Virginia as we celebrate African Americans in wine with a gala, a wine pair brunch, the Behind the Business East Conference, and jazz by the legendary Marcus Johnson and James Saxmo Gates. February 9th and 10th, join us for wine tasting, delicious food, and an exclusive experience. For more information, call 804-993-4130 or visit our events page at thevinewineclub.com.
Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
As I was saying before we went to the break, I think 2018 we are in for a heck of a ride with regards to what's going on in Washington. I say that from the standpoint, first of all, 45 tweeting that our button is bigger than, you know, someone else's button. One thing I believe with regards to Kim Jong-un is that he may be crazy, but he's not stupid. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anyone says. He, yes, crazy, yes, but stupid, no. The mere fact that he wants to meet with South Korea, you know, I thought that was a good move. I know partially they, you know, is being put out there that it's because of the Olympics that is going to be in South Korea. I don't care what it's for. It's the fact that he made an offer to sit down to talk with South Korea, I thought was a good move. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that 45 did not jump on the bandwagon in a diplomatic fashion and say, hey, that's a good move, let's do this.
There's no diplomacy required when you're the boss.
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier. He is truly, he's a bully. He's
well, remember, this is, we're also talking about a part of the world wherein what you can access online through the internet, it's all censored. Remember, there is a bridge between North and South Korea. How is North Korea getting all of their supplies, their gas, et cetera? Remember, they've been talking about how they get their oil reserves from offshore. Well, it can't come through this part because we're technically at war. But we can, you know.
Well, they get a lot from China. It was put out there that China was violating one of the sanctions.
Yeah. Yes.
With regards to North Korea.
And there are no whistleblowers talking about that. Why?
Right.
Because the government controls what we're doing right now, the freedom of speech, the ability to talk about it, and to be factual and to be loud in our point of view.
Well, that's what we have to be very, very careful and very, very mindful about when I put out there Sinclair Media. If they are one of the biggest and largest growing media sources that if they, you know, control the majority of our media source, it is going to be almost like a robot news
and they are
put out there.
They're requiring stations under their umbrella to broadcast specific,
right,
politically, politically
censored,
tainted,
right,
censored.
Not censored.
It directed.
Directed.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
A certain point of view to their stations. They have to put this either on air, via radio or via television, one of the two.
And they do it in their news cycles.
Oh, yeah. I understand.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
I understand this concept. It's like rat poison. Remember, rat poison is so potent because I hate rats. And that's why I know so
you're
much
not
about
the only
them.
One. Rodents, you're right.
I don't like rodents. And so rat poison, because when mice eat, they come and they go, and they just get a little bit, and then they go away because it's enough to sustain me, but I know if I eat a lot of this, I could die. That's why rat poison is so potent. That's why this political poison is so potent, because most people are not sitting down saying, I must educate myself, I'm going to find out, I'm going to research, I'm going to fact check, I'm going to check in several different sources. They're just coming saying,
yeah,
and getting a little bit, and it poisons
well,
them.
And that's why he's already set the tone, fake news, yes. Alternative yeah, news. News. Now it has us questioning as to what is true and what's not true.
Correct.
You know, and also, too, with regards to net neutrality, now that's the other thing.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but yes. my internet service has slowed down so doggone much, I'm ready to throw my terminal out the window. I mean,
I might be able to help you with that.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
But
everything.
But in terms of net neutrality, there was an article the other day that going back to the Russians, that at the time that they made the decision to vote on net neutrality, they had public comments, mm-hmm. had millions of comments mm-hmm. supposedly to the FCC in support of eliminating the net neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
They were Russian, hundreds of thousands of Russian blogs, Russian-oriented data got into the record, and then the FCC used that
yes.
to eliminate yes. the net neutrality, which puts, again, going back to Sinclair,
mm-hmm.
going back to the speed of your internet, determining what gets put on the internet,
right?
Basically not choosing, but pricing it.
Absolutely. Right, exactly. Right.
So absolutely. You can get Fox on the free tier, and you might have to get CNN and pay mm-hmm. for it.
Pay for it, right? You exactly. Know, that is a very and also too the FCC that the wheels are in addition to that were in motion because the person that headed up the FCC was a ex-Verizon employee or attorney. Can't remember, but I know he was with Verizon. So they were already planning to do this thing regardless.
Well they benefit and
yeah.
they make more money. But mm-hmm. the fact is that if we've gotten to the point and if the Russians are so sophisticated that they're using their apparatus, their social media
our
social media
right.
in order mm-hmm. to
influence,
make public comment, allow things to be put in place so that the people who want to do it say, well, look at all the comments, 80% said, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing what the people want.
But then again, 80% of who?
That's right, exactly. Russians.
No one asked that. No one exactly. asked the question.
Exactly.
Well, the polls said,
80%
poll?
Of ninth graders? I mean, 80% of who?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big problem that I have with polls because everybody is not
yeah.
exactly, and they're not always being honest.
Right.
I'm not
more than
tell
that.
You
we learned
real
learn that with the 2016 election.
When was the last time you tried to go and fact check the pool from which they drew? Does it even exist?
Yes.
Can they simply just say, "Well, 80% of respondents said"? Can I get a record of those respondents?
That's right. So if 12 people responded, and then I broke it down into 80%,
right.
as though we don't understand math.
Right. right.
The implication is that somehow there was a broad spectrum of people that were chosen at random through a large mm-hmm. swath of X, Y, and Z, and they used a slide rule and a compass in order to then get the protract. And so, no, it ain't got to be that deep.
And the way it's presented, whether it's in a pie chart or a graph, or 19% of this said, or then they divided on things that don't matter. Well, women felt this way, and pineapples felt that way.
Well, let me ask you, have you all ever been polled on anything?
Yes.
No, I don't answer polls.
Mm-mm. Well, I've never been polled on
why
separate.
Don't you?
The thing is that if I did, I would purposefully
have fun with it.
Give them wrong information.
Have fun with it. That's an opportunity for hilarity.
Well, anytime that you vote on
for the good, I would. If it's going to make a difference for the good, I would.
But
when you go online to sign up.
The question when they ask, it depends on what it is, what they're asking, who's asking the question.
When you go online to sign up for things, like let's say for a publisher's clearinghouse. The reason that they ask those questions, when you go online and you sign up to get coupons for free, they ask questions. You're being polled.
Right, right.
You're being polled.
That's right.
Yeah, because yeah, I didn't win a doggone thing, so I'm like, okay, this is a poll. let me read Curious's text. Curious asks if you are all happy about anything. Why don't you support your president? Are you serious?
No, no, our, the word's not yours.
No, 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 I see a why there. Your president.
Our president. Why don't you support our
president? Your president? Okay.
You
did
want
you hear
us.
What I said? Your president.
Denial is America's favorite destination, vacation destination.
I have an answer for you, Curious, since you're so curious. Yes, I am. I'm very happy about the grace of God controlling our lives and not just one person who thinks that he does. And also, in terms of supporting our president, you have to think about it this way. When we support our children, we don't agree with everything they say, and we don't agree with everything that they do. We have to direct them when they are wrong. In that way, right now, we are supporting our president.
Well, I got another question. What is it? What is it about 45? Curious that you are supporting.
You're supporting the presidency, what it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to know from Curious, what is it specifically that you are supporting the president about? What has he done that has made a difference for the good? That's what I want to know. Can somebody tell me?
No,
has he done?
Curious.
No, Curious.
Okay. We're leaving it up to Curious.
Yeah, that's what I just
George,
said.
George, as it were.
Yeah. Tell us back.
Well, we'll talk about one more thing with regards to 45, and then we're going to go to something else. I think we're going to learn a lot about him in the next probably the few days, weeks, because Steve Bannon has come out with a new book. And he
is
saying
y'all.
Some stuff.
Be careful.
That I'm like, okay, talking about what Donald Trump Jr. meeting with the Russians, and that is treason and unpatriotic and this and that, blah, blah, blah.
When folks throw
around
the word,
y'all think this is going to go anywhere?
When folks throw around the word treason, a lot of them don't understand what the word means. It's been said, well, such and such as it's an act of treason. Mm-hmm. Well, according to the definition, no, it ain't. If you want to call it treason, you can call it something else. As far as he's engaged in activity that could look treasonous, whether or not it actually can be charged. Can actually meet the standards for it,
but
that's yet to be seen.
But I think that the comment though,
if you think that what he's done is treason, that's the kind of mentality that has brought him to power in the first place. I'm the president; I can do anything. No, you can't.
Until he got to be president, treason was not in the bailiwick of things that he could do. When he was a developer in New York. His activity may well have been criminal.
Right.
You know, he may be involved in criminal conspiracies, which may be a part of what we're looking at here with this collusion. But once he becomes president and he takes on that position, then his activities, like you say, may meet that higher
standard.
Of what is, you know, it's treasonous and it should be looked at and called out for what, you know, what it may be. It's clearly criminal.
Without a doubt.
Clearly criminal.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds.
And we impeach for, what's it, high crimes and treason? That's a standard for impeachment.
That's even more reason why the midterm elections are very important, because the Republicans will allow him to do anything in some kind of way. I just feel like at this point, they're just making up stuff and just doing stuff however the heck they feel.
I want to say I've heard that it's something called Article 25, and don't quote me on this. Treason is one thing, but in order to meet the requirements for impeachment, that's a much lower bar than simply that. It could be simply a situation, in layman's terms, you're just not doing the job.
Okay, well, we got to hold that thought. Today's jazz break is Sea Jam and Blues by Gerald Albright, sponsored by the Metropolitan Day School. Thank you.
New Orleans Talk Network, now on your mobile device,
on your computer,
in your ear, and interactive. It's new,
it's innovative,
and it's on your mobile device,
Android,
iPhone,
iPad,
and on your computer.
Take us wherever you go,
because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
There are so many ways to listen at Peachtree Radio FM. Go to rsgame.org, download the RS Game web client while playing your game, press Control-B and arrow down to Peachtree Radio FM. Also, dial a telephone number, 641-552-5194. Download the Peachtree Radio FM app from the App Store and Google Play Store. Listen at Peachtree Radio FM on TuneIn Radio, iBlink Radio,
and the new website,
PeachtreeRadioFM.net. There are so many ways to listen at Peachtree Radio FM. Well, some listen to remember and some listen to forget.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Okay, you all were just talking about polls. I know you hate polls, but we have a poll question here. A recent poll revealed that about three quarters of Americans identify with a Christian faith. 37% of respondents identify as highly religious based on their self-reports of church attendance and the importance of religion in their lives, while 33% identify as not religious at all. It is notable that almost half of those who identify as highly religious approve of the current president. 45's approval rate is 64% among highly religious whites, twice as high as it is among those who are not religious. There is little relationship between religion and views of 45 among non-whites. Here's the question: do you consider yourself to be religious? How do religion and race affect your political views? Dr. West, let's start with you.
Well, looking at those numbers, you say 37% of the people say that they're very religious.
Mm-hmm. They fight people.
Define very religious.
That's first thing. Yeah.
Do you bless your food each and every time you eat?
And say your prayers every time.
But see, then you say that half of those are like pro-Trump.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that means that's 18%.
Mm-hmm.
So first you look at who the other religious folks are. And Black folks tend to be very religious too.
Right.
So when you look at the numbers and you say, well, of the whites who are very religious, the 2/3 of them or 60% of them are for Trump, That's probably correct among whites who are, you know, that are very
religious.
Mm-hmm.
The evangelicals, probably.
And so the thing is that when you I think we're getting caught in a trap in that we're conflating race and religion. And the thing is that, and when you look at it, if you look at the Trump people, clearly there are races that support Trump. And there are some very religious people that support Trump.
And sometimes some of those people are both.
They're both. I mean, and because that's the mix of what we have in America. So to sit there and try to take a poll and distill it to try to come up with, say, is it race? Is it religion? Is it what? You know, they are
separate. Too many dynamics.
Right. So the thing is, am I religious? I consider myself more spiritual than I do religious.
I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. I don't like the term religion.
You have to look at the definition of religion.
Yeah. I agree with you on 100% on that. Yeah, I don't consider myself religious. I consider myself spiritual as well.
And so when it comes to race, I think that race is part of the mix that as you look at, of course, I'm a black man in America, so that says something. And it affects my judgment about a number of things. But I look at what my interest may be. I look at how it affects my children and my grandchildren, my community. So there are a whole bunch of other factors. So that when we had the discussions last year about Hillary didn't work for me in all the categories. But when you looked at the other side, you said there's no way, because you could see that this guy was a snake oil salesman that was selling and he did a masterful job because he got the races on board with him. He got the
evangelicals.
How could they sit there and allow a man to degrade women the way he did and overlook it? Because it could have been race, could have been a whole bunch of things. Mm-hmm. So in terms of that poll, you know, for me, they're separate, you know.
So you think religion and politics should not be mixed?
Well, the thing is that the Constitution, let's go back to that.
No, they should not be mixed.
The Constitution says that you have a right to religion, to practice your religion, or not have a religion.
That's religion.
That's separate. You know, that's your inalienable right to choose. Now, when it came to race, we got kind of mixed up because the slavery piece, the exploitation piece, kind of clouded people's images and how they had to come back from it. And so we have a provision in the Constitution with regard to race. So then there are a number of different things in there, but no, they're totally separate.
Okay. Dr. Henry?
I can't get into that one anyhow because I'm just going to
come on, Doc.
Do that. Because all I know is that white people are rednecks, prejudiced, and I don't see any religion in them. And when I watch TV on Sundays, listen to those ministers on TV,
that's mighty
white
of you. That's mighty white of you.
I guess I have to say something with regard to that. No. And a lot of people, let me say this. I get really disturbed when we label all white people because we don't want folks to label all black people the same. You know what I'm saying? Not all white people are bad, and not all.
That's me saying. Besides, when you put on TV on Sunday,
I guess I just get disturbed a little bit when we say all white people or all black people.
She did qualify. She said those who are on TV.
Yeah, you watch them on Sunday, send all this.
Well, not all. Well, you just said you watched, what's the?
I mean, I just wished. I knew that.
Face the Nation.
Yeah, but that's about politics or politics. I'm talking about religion. When you turn those channels.
Does somehow politics exonerate them from being rednecks and all of this stuff?
No, just watching church on Sundays. You're talking about certain
preachers.
Yes,
certain preachers. Okay, I thought you were talking about all the white folks.
Well, she did say all.
That's why I want to
those ones that are in church.
I know I heard all those
ones who go to church and you listen to them on Sunday mornings, you'll be like, what are they talking about? And that's just
but you got some black preachers too.
Amen.
I want to hear them saying something about love your neighbors. You don't hear those churches.
Well, define what love means, sister.
Okay. Well, let's bring it back into what we're talking about.
You know, churches.
Because love is going to get you.
Yes. With regards to the question, do you consider yourself religion or Do you think politics and religion should mix?
No, I do not consider myself to be religious. Reverend Falk does not consider himself to be religious, because when I think of the word religious, it's about doing something repeatedly over and over again, like going to the gym religiously or religiously washing my hands. Certain things are done out of necessity. I do believe that man, woman, the creations from God, we are a spirit, because that's what we're going to return to. We live in a body and we possess a soul. And that soul is our mind, our emotions, and those things. I believe. I have confident expectation of dependable truth concerning that. Dependable truth, okay? All right. So when you talk about the two, when you talk about the two being meshed together, because of my faith, because of what I believe, I know that even someone who has behaved as Donald Trump might get to heaven and might see him there. Are we ready for that? When you start talking about the real
depends on what heaven, where heaven is. Heaven might be here, right here on earth for him.
Absolutely, because there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth.
Heaven on earth.
Again, like I said, when you start talking about what it is that we believe, so based on those things,
if you live
things,
it now, you probably won't get it later. But anyway.
Two, in terms of politics and religion mixing, they already do.
The only reason that politics and religion have become intertwined and intermeshed is because
we
the people. Has become a requirement.
Why?
I don't know why, because we are supposed to be a Judeo-Christian founded country, completely in conflict with the actual actions that went on that made this country the way it is. And we don't have to look that far back into history in order to see the conflict.
But there's a law separating church and state, right?
Yes. There is a law.
But those people.
They're trying to change that, from my understanding. Last year, I don't know if it was about 45, somebody was trying to change that so that preachers could, from the pulpit,
They can go ahead and engage in politics, but they got to pay taxes.
Right.
Absolutely. Think of Martin Luther King and how political he was. When you talk about the separation of church and state, and so why all these state offices closed on Christmas?
Yeah.
That's an observation of the Judeo-Christian founding that we're supposed to have.
Well, let's take it a step further. We as Christians, Mr. Fried and I had this conversation the other day. As children of God, why are the churches closed and that there's not a church service on most churches on Christmas Day?
I used to go to midnight
mass on a regular basis.
Yes, they do have
on Christmas Eve.
Protestant churches now. My church
Episcopalians
did not have service on Christmas Day. Not on Sunday. If Christmas did not fall on Sunday, then they wouldn't have church
service. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right. Exactly.
Because I was going to say, in 16, as
Christians.
In 16, it was on a Sunday. Christmas fell on a Sunday.
Right. So quite naturally, you're going to church on Sunday anyway. Yeah.
Yes.
But if it fell on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or Saturday, for the most part, most churches do not have a church service. Now,
one of the things that happens is people desire to be at home, to wake up, to open that present, to open that gift, you know, and I spoke about that in my message to the people that I love this year. It's about, you know, it is time to wake up and to open our gifts, those spiritual gifts, because God has given us everything that we need for righteous living. True. Despite whoever
and
is in
that's
power.
Provided the person that receives that gift recognizes it
as Christians,
and opens
it should be recognized, and we should be celebrating in a service
just about getting a gift. They're not wrecked. They don't say
some people don't realize it is a gift.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, look, before we go to break, I want to take a few minutes to remember our friend Danny Lowry. A regular contributor to the Tanya Free and Friends talk show. And Danny was just genuine. He was genuine. He would come in and he'd be ready to go to talk about the issues and keep it 100. You know, yes. Danny, he was a jewel, a true jewel, yes. And didn't mind having his voice heard. Yes. You know, and like I said, what we do here at the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is keep it real.
Yes.
Danny came ready. He did just that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to miss him greatly. Funeral services will be Saturday, January the 13th at 1 o'clock at Jenkins Chapel. So our condolences to his family and, you know, I don't know what else I can say that we definitely will truly, truly miss him. Thanks to our producer, Mr. Free, he's put together some clips of Danny. So, Danny, we're going to miss you, friend.
And also with us is Danny Lowry. How are you, friend?
I'm great, Tanya.
Good to see you here.
Yeah, good to be back with you.
What point are we going to be kicking and screaming to get, you know, the people in Washington's attention? I mean, how long are we going to allow this to happen?
I don't know. It's time to stop, though. The Republican Party, let me tell you something about me. I don't care nothing about neither party, this party stuff, simply because people feel like, well, if I belong to the Democratic Party or if I belong to the Republican Party, if we got any kind of idiot in our party and he's saying stupid, crazy things, we're just going to go with him because we dedicated to the party.
Right, that's what
he said. It's not holding nobody accountable.
That's exactly
it. It is so absolutely I'm so sick of it.
Well, he just said, Scalia said, you're right, so therefore.
But I'm saying, these racists out here, these racist idiots, and there's a bunch of them out there, they would literally try to kill you.
Well,
if you burn that flag in front of them right now, they love that piece of rag more than they love human beings.
Well, I think it goes further than that. I think they're using that as an excuse to change the narrative to keep from talking about what is really going on here. And I think you have something that is substantial that we need to put on Facebook, and we stick with what the truth is because we get caught up in the alternative facts or that they want to, you know, present. And we're not talking about the flag. I mean, the Kaepernick's issue is not about the flag.
That's right.
You know,
and they know it, Tom.
Right. Well, the thing is, we got to not get caught up in it. That's the thing.
And the Constitution doesn't say, you know how they always saying, well, this is not the right place to protest. Or, this is not the protest. No matter, the Constitution didn't say you have a right to protest for right, but you have to do it in this place, or you have to do it in that. It doesn't stipulate where you can protest. It said you have a right to protest.
And
have you ever listened to Rush Limbaugh's show?
Exactly.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, exactly. You're a good point.
They always say that.
And you're talking about fake news, that makeup stuff, trying to change history.
Yeah.
You know? That's the part that is amazing, how they see things one-sided or want to tell it such in a manner that they feel is their history.
But you know, that's the way our government is. They're such a racist group of people that they wanted to kill Dr. King for telling the truth. Dr. King wasn't no racist. If they were too blinded by racism to listen to Dr. King talk about our white brothers and our black brothers need to understand we got to live together.
We got someone now in office that won't tell the truth.
You know what I'm saying? So they don't want to hear that kind of talk.
How you get nationalists? I mean, with the alt-right.
You take up for those people.
Yeah.
Here you have Minister Farrakhan. Minister Farrakhan just be trying to tell, he just be telling the truth. People can say what they want to say. You have to listen to him.
Sure.
Hard to conceal. Can't imagine all the pain I feel. Give anything to hear half your breath.
I know you're still living your life after death.
Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is sponsored in part by
Metropolitan Day School, where eagles soar.
Let's face it, being a parent is not always easy, but being a kid today is not so easy either. Our kids need so much. They need the emotional, academic, and social skills to succeed, and they need you. But between work, errands, dinner, and homework, there's not much time left for you, is there? Well, we want to help. Raise the Standard is a nonprofit company in Virginia that focuses on helping parents and children in a positive way. Utilizing an online assessment, we identify what your child's natural talents and strengths are. And focusing on those gifts makes a child more productive, therefore more successful, and ultimately happier kid. Then you get to spend time with that child. Let's raise the standard in Virginia for our kids. Let's raise the standard for what they expect and what they receive. Contact us today, raisethestandardva.org. That's raisethestandardva.org, 804-426-4228. 804-426-4228.
This is Blake Harris Austin with the Black History Moment. Stephanie Johnson made history 20 years ago by becoming the first African-American female pilot for Northwest Airlines. Though this was a great achievement, Johnson made history again in 2016 by becoming the first African-American captain for Delta Airlines. Johnson was one of the first in her family to complete college. She graduated from Kent State University, where she led the university's aviation program as a flight instructor. Before making history at Northwest Airlines, Johnson held a number of part-time jobs, including working at Blockbuster. Johnson wants to encourage young children who want to become an airline pilot to consider a career in aviation. She states that she feels a great sense of responsibility to be a positive role model, and she thinks there are so few women in the aviation profession, and there are too many women who still don't think of it as a realistic career option.
The Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is sponsored in part by
Marion Marketing Global. You know those guys over at Marion Marketing Global? They can do everything from billboards to bus signs. Marion Marketing Global, changing the world and expanding your brand every day, each day. Marion Marketing Global, 804-938-5218. Check us out on the web at marionmarketingglobal.com.
Thank you.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Okay, let's go to the comments. Niles, you want to read the comments with regards to the question, how does religion and race affect your political views?
Christine says, we need to take religion out. Fundamentalists are one-trick ponies and always end up on abortion. Longtime listener says, I'm a Christian, but I have nothing in common with Donald Trump, and he claims Christianity. Mm. Alex said, I don't understand these Christian evangelicals that can overlook racism and pedophilia in the name of the Lord. Donna says, overly religious zealots have no understanding of what Jesus came here to do. Yeah. Eugene said, oil and water. I look at platform and voting record. I don't care what the politician's religion is. Jesse says, I'm a Christian, but I don't understand my overly religious.
I
don't consider myself overly religious. I vote on policy. I will vote for the best candidate regardless of their religion. Curious said, I do not agree with the concept of separation of church and state. I want my elected official to share my values. I would never vote for a Muslim or atheist. Longtime listener says,
you're a douchebag.
Okay, I agree. Longtime listener says, evangelicals love 45, and he is the devil incarnate. Benjamin said, Christian,
I don't know if I go that far.
Christian
denominations
have gone far away from the teachings of Christ, that religion means nothing to me. Cameron said, I want preachers out of politics and religions out of pulpits. Sadly, too many preachers are being paid to influence their flock. There is a special place in hell for them. Nuance said, looking forward to this conversation Wednesday. Great way to kick off the new year, dealing with the real.
Thank you.
Thomas said, black Christians are not the same as white Christians. White Christians will vote against any and all Democrats. Tabitha says, I don't think religion should be in politics, period.
That's not true.
Trump says he is a Christian. I don't want to be associated with that type of Christian. Denver says, preachers need to stick to saving souls, not votes. T.D. Jakes sold us out during the Bush administration, and a group of black preachers in Richmond endorsed McCain because Obama feels that a woman should be able to make the decision what to do with her own body.
I think Steve Parsons was one of them, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Mr. Steve Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
Church right up the street?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Richmond Christian Center, Steve
Parsons.
He's
not there any longer.
He did go that way.
Did they exercise him from the premises?
No, it's been bought and sold.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Niles. Okay.
Kia says, I don't know what's worse, pimps in the pulpit or pimps in Congress.
Ooh.
Terrence said, white Christians support Trump because they never want another black president or a woman president. Andre says, evangelicals give all Christians a bad name. Why do Christians hate Muslims? Jesus never discriminated against anyone. And Andrew said, I vote conscience, not religion.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to go back to something Curious said. He said he do not agree with the concept of separation of church and state. I want my elected officials to share my values. I agree with that, but he would never vote for a Muslim or atheist. What do you all think about that last part? Let me say this. If you have two people running for office, and the person that is an atheist or Muslim represents your best interest opposed to the person that claims to be religion. I say religion, I'm not going to say spiritual or a Christian, I'm going to say religious. Would you vote for the person that is an atheist or a Muslim? I'm going to go to you, Ben.
Well, first of all, Curious has not done us the favor, for lack of a better term, of responding to the question we asked Curious earlier.
Okay, let's go with this one though for now, because we're almost out of time.
Again, douchebag. Period.
Okay, Reverend Falk?
Well, concerning the last part, you want someone to share your values, mm-hmm. but just because they're a Christian doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to share your values.
Correct.
Because you have Christians who feel that they're pro-choice.
It doesn't sound like he has Christian values as I know them to be.
Yeah. Right. But again, that's the whole thing about it. It's about what is his dependable truth.
Yeah.
When you get to that definition, because we use these words, grace and glory and things, but we don't always really sit down to really find out, to know for ourselves exactly what the word says. Even for those who are Muslims, who are Jewish, etc., there are people who always say, oh, Jewish people, they really are focused on, you've got to learn that Torah and so forth and so on. Yeah, that's the way that it's supposed to be portrayed, but it doesn't always go that way, does it? And more so than anything, you can know all the words of any Bible scriptures, but if you be hearers of that word, but not doers,
then what you're doing?
That's why I think there should be a separation between church and state. I hate it when you have politicians show up for five or 10 minutes and want to, you know, campaign during the worship service and then they leave. You know, I think that
where were you all year?
Yeah, well, but I think that it is
religious standing is the United States litmus test for whether you are or ain't.
Well, that's just a key.
Well, I think it gives us it. We like our responsibility that we shouldn't have to have someone to come up, show up on a Sunday morning and campaign to us. As our responsibility as voters, we should already know. And I think that, you know, church, far as I'm concerned, is about worshiping.
Amen.
And not about politicking or campaigning. I hate it when, like I said, when a politician, and I hope that more churches, you know, congregations will get to the point that, no, you cannot come and speak to our congregation during church services or anytime on church grounds. That's just how to feel about it.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing, I think, if anything, that, you know, the church can be used far as for voter registration, signing people up to vote, not taking stands with any particular party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you be Republican, everybody, just making sure that everybody's able to vote. And not, you know, picking.
Make a stand, but they got to pay taxes.
But when you go back.
I don't think a church should, though.
Go back to the question of the vote, the curious. Now, everyone has a right to vote.
Correct.
Right. And everyone has the right to vote however they wish.
Yeah. Correct.
Now, if I were going to be judgmental, number one, I give curious the right to vote however curious thinks. If I think curious vote is uninformed, ignorant, off the chain, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why it's important, going back to the earlier conversation, that we have to vote to offset that stupidity. You know, you've got to have people showing up and saying, I'm engaged and I'm going to vote my conscience, my interest, myself.
Right.
And be on the record. Now, the way it works is, if the curious people get more votes than my side, they win. If my side gets more votes, we win. And the thing is that the winning, you know, is going to have an impact on redistricting, all the other issues, and it really is not only 2018, but it's city council, boards of supervisors, the legislatures, all the way up the chain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you got to vote, and you got to say, he's got a right to vote. He's got a right.
Oh, I agree with that.
Just like he has a right to be whatever religion he
wants. I agree with that 100%. But I think where I have a problem is when you start to mix in the two. Just, I believe that 45-1, as a result of pulling in evangelical and trying
he's going to appoint someone to the bench that's going to outlaw abortion.
And then paying them to overturn Roe versus Wade.
But that's political. Yeah. You know, what he did was that, even though we sit there and say this man is imbalanced, he's insane, all the things we say about him, what they did was that they cobbled together enough votes to win. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe not in the votes cast, but in the Electoral College.
That's another issue we need to talk about and get rid of.
But the irony of that, we're going to talk about another show
because we're out of time. As always, I thank God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for allowing us the opportunity to speak and hopefully hear Thanks to all of our listening friends. Blessings to each and every one of you. And of course, thanks to Van, Dr. West, Reverend Falk, Dr. Henry, Reverend Falk, did I say that? Okay. Dr. Henry, Niles, Noah, Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Until next time, be free. And remember to live life with a purpose.
Peace and love, y'all.